Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 470. We are talking about in Shir 469 about the healthy balance of intimacy, that there needs to be a balance to understand that the physical act of Oina is one piece of the puzzle of marriage. It's one of the most important pieces. It's extremely important. It is holy, it is sacred, and it is necessary. But the act alone, without the feeling of affection behind it, is frowned upon. It needs to be a very, very healthy combination of emotional and physical. And Baruch Hashem, these days, the training and devotion of Chassan and Kala teachers became more widespread, and it got a lot better. Nevertheless, there's still problems, because a number of them still interpret this obligation of Oina either way, way, way too harshly or way, way, way too liberally. The ones too liberally basically just focus on the fact that intimate relations are intended to be just fun, having fun together without anything else in mind, and just for the purpose of maximizing pleasure for its own sake. And some even go further and basically take away all the restrictions and boundaries to do this mitzvah, to do it in any way, shape, or form, and Shalom Bayis will follow automatically. That's not the Torah perspective. A house that has no boundaries, based solely on self-gratification and enjoyment, will fall apart, the Shechina leaves, and there's a lack of Siyata Dishmaya thereof. The other way around is also equally dangerous, as we're going to explain. Rizviel Tauber brings down that people who do this self-gratification approach solely is the opposite. They think Kedoshim Tiyu, holiness is just that, but nothing else. And that's a mistake, because you could really fly off and go in the wrong directions. Constant self-gratification does not work. When couples indulge in intimate acts excessively, focusing just on the pleasure of it, it gets lost. Physical pleasure on a natural plane becomes boring sooner or later, no matter what you do. And because the essence of this mitzvah is an emotional connection and bounding and union, an excess could create a lack of that bounding and union. That's why the balance is also healthy. You know, it's like kissing a child all day long to express your love. It has zero effect after you do that all the time. Then what are you doing? You know, it loses its thing. You can't do it all day long. The kid won't feel the emotion of connection when you do that. So that is the one extreme that goes way negative one way, where just everything goes. Then on the other side of the spectrum, other Chassan Kala teachers lean to the opposite extreme. Because what happens is they really are supposed to emphasize that it's not just a mitzvah Oina, it's simchas Oina. It has to come with a certain degree of simcha. He brings Ms. Mekairis for it here. He brings Pesachim, Ayin Beis, Amad Beis, and Avodah Zarah, Hei Amad Aleph. And he brings other sources, so I didn't look it up, so you can look it up. But it's connected to simcha, to joy. And when it's done in a way where there's a heaviness of heart, or a lack of emotion, or affection, or with an overboard seriousness, is very, very harmful. And basically what they're doing is they are teaching these innocent boys and girls in a language and instruction that's fit for malachim. They're not fit for human beings. And they pretend that they're malachim. And that is a very, very difficult thing. It's a kuntres, eis lefresh of eis lehehoi from Simcha Feuerman. He's a mumcha in this. It says, basically, that v'chol ha'roitz elitel sashem bo'al pi'atzmai lesser samutu lahatez ha'aser. Many just take a name for themselves, and they forbid what's permitted, they permit what's forbidden. They don't know between their right and their left. They don't know about the middle, healthy, derech hatayra balance, adrecha adachinoyam. Excess gedarim will cause people to fall. It'll cause them to go to the other extreme. It's like a rubber band that snaps, and they fall into despair because they can't reach that high, high, high level, and then they go spiral all the way downward. Very often, if you put your wife 20 feet behind you because you can't walk with her, God forbid, you end up with a zayner right in front of your face. That's not life. That's not the way Hashem designed it. Here you go with the tefasta meruba loy tefasta. Don't grab beyond what you can do. Not for this world stuff, not for next world stuff. Tefasta meruba loy tefasta. The easiest way for the Yetzirah to wreck Jewish homes is to do this. Is to do this, and it'll break things apart. So again, both extremes are dangerous. Both extremes are very, very difficult. To be very, very careful. And this is what Rav Nachum Bresser brought down at one point in one of his sichos, that what the Yetzirah does a lot is he creates this kilkel to create separation between a husband and a wife, to remove the shalom by youth, to trap them into the most terrible averis. And sometimes it comes by being too lenient, and sometimes it's going overboard by being too strict. And you set up Jewish homes, a lot of them are based on Christian faith. We're going to go into that later. It's mind-boggling. There is, in the Torah view, a narrow for individuals, yechidim, individuals, and only if their wife is on board completely on a certain level of precious, of abstentation. But for the Mahamayinam, for most of us, and even big, big, big people, this is not the way. You have to teach people, couples, how to build and achieve unity, love, harmony. Not these abstract ideas of warped concepts of Kedusha. The Sefer Narei Esh from Rav Shimon, I think Zelig cover, and he gives a very strong Musar. And he wasn't such a, you read his Svarim, he's pretty much on the Machmas side in many areas. But he said like this in his letter, it's Narei Esh Michtav Nun. And he says that about marital matters, because I know clearly that many people become ensnared. They fell, became broken and trapped by what they had seen in some svarim, that if I'm not as pure as a malach, he has no remedy and is worth nothing. And from this, many fell into despair, and some even refrained from doing what's permitted and started doing something that was prohibited. This is common sense, and people fall into this. And mechanchim fall into this and kill the young boys and girls that should enjoy a healthy, intimate life, and they ruin it for them, killing it. Both the ones that just say it's hefka, do whatever you want, and to the other extreme, the ones that make them like your malach. Like it's the people, they thought it was mamash, they're committing a crime if they're not together, if they're together more than twice a week. I've heard B'peh Malay secondhand, okay? I don't go to, in the Kala side, secondhand, third hand and second hand. Maybe not anymore, but years ago. Like it's mamish, it's like you're a behema. So what do you mean? If there is a point where it is, in certain points of pregnancy, for example, towards the, you know, middle end of term, the nauseousness is away, and there's a stronger desire in the woman to have this, and she wants it more than twice a week, so be it. She wants it 3-4 times a week, so be it. But all of a sudden, you know, this concept of like all of a sudden, like shebe imein adam naki kemalach shuvein leitakana, he has to be like a malach, and that is very, very, very important. Again, you have to look at the Michtav Nun. Again, he's a little more on the Chomedica side in certain aspects. But he does acknowledge Hagam shuma nefesh abahami. Yes, the sexual urge has an animalistic aspect to it. But halay b'Yisrael meluvish b'yalakus. In a yid, it has godliness within it. And you could put your heart to it. And you thank Hashem for it. Now, there's no bracha be'etzem on this pleasure. Not a bracha before, we talked about in different shiurim, and not a bracha afterwards. But what you could do afterwards is say, to thank Hashem for it. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Alanoz, Zusha, Nasatali, Bechaveda, V'simcha. I'm quoting from the Nari Eish Mechdav Nun. Thank you for giving me this pleasure with an honor and that it's enclosed in a mitzvah. And Yiratze Mofanecha should be the will of your will, Sheyachia, Sheyatoysev, be this extra, like, energy that I have, umph that I have in life, the Simcha Sachayim I have in life, because of this Aina, Aidehanoazu, because of this pleasure. And he says in parentheses, listen carefully, Ki Yadua Kol Hanoha Nechazek Chiyus Halev. Every pleasure strengthens the life force of the heart. And when used positive, it could be done positive. So it should lead me to be Mekayim your mitzvahs with a humility. I should not become arrogant and think constantly healthy thoughts. Healthy thoughts. So in one, for example, is together with his wife, and you think it's a disgusting thing, or you think it's something very animalistic, or vice versa. But put on the husband's perspective as an example. So he writes like this. He says, V'chiguf bas Yisrael, the body of a bas Yisrael, shebevadai kvar ovar osa kama mitzvah, she did many mitzvahs. Shomar Shabbos Kodesh, she kept Shabbos. Hisana began Kippur, she fasted. And she goes through the tsar of a bedika and a tefillah. Okay? That's not comfortable things, these bedikas that she has to do. And the tefillahs is not always things. Right? So you have to say, of course, that in the panemius, there's godliness. There's godliness in the physicality of it. And it's a very, very important yesod. Says Riel Tabor, also it goes both ends. If you don't say it's totally for self-indulgence, it'll kill a marriage. But if you want to also turn them into a malach, it'll also kill a marriage. It is very, very dangerous. It's a very big responsibility. So yeah, lust for the sake of lust is dangerous. Celibacy, or as much as possible celibacy, equally dangerous. Both are not good. Both Hashem rejects, the Torah rejects. You starve them from what's permitted, they'll look at the garbage, Rahman al-Islam. That's basically what's going to happen. They will look at the garbage. I'm going to say 9 times out of 10, could even be 10 times out of 10. You try denying what's permitted, they will run to what is prohibited. It's just the way it is. I mentioned this in a few times in the previous shiurim. Someone told me there's a Yismach Moshe that says this in Parshas Kedoshim. I said, I don't believe you. Show me where it is. He showed me where it is, because usually they don't quote this Yismach Moshe. Kaddish Atzmecha B'Mutalach. Kedoshim to you be holy. Kaddish Atzmecha B'Mutalach. Sanctify yourself with what is permitted. And basically, the Yisach Moshe says there's two explanations of this. One explanation is the one we all know. You make yourself holy, how? B'mutalach, by prohibiting what is permitted. Don't necessarily indulge in everything that's permitted. Hold yourself back from the permitted, because otherwise it'll lead to violating prohibitive things. That's the simple, basic case of a nazir. The Torah says really shouldn't go near the wine, the grapes. Not, you shouldn't enter the vineyard. Well, what do you mean? I'm going to enter the vineyard. Well, I'm not going to eat the grapes, but maybe you will. So you stay away from even what's permitted. There's no isser technically for a nazir to go into a vineyard, technically. But the Torah says, schar, schar, that's the example. Don't go near it, because you may touch the Isser. It's the same thing with physical pleasures. You have to be careful. Stay away. But he said there's another element to it. Kaddish Atzecha b'mutalach. How do you sanctify yourself? B'mutalach. Yes, indulge. The word indulge may be too strong. But yes, go for the mutter. Sometimes a couple needs that outlet. It's not lust for the sake of lust. Even if there's some lust there. If the lust is there, but you know how to, you need to channel it, and it's for the sake of love and connection, sometimes that's the healthy approach. Allow it to be expressed in a mutter eifen, because if you don't, it'll lead to an usser eifen. Unfortunately, how many times you have, you would think it's just by men, but it's by women too, where they feel very unsatisfied physically, sexually in their marriage, and they run to other outlets, Rahman al-Itzlan. Why? Not because their husband or wife is an abuser or a bad person. It's a regular marriage with regular, typical flaws and this and that. But the physical is non-existent. And they're embarrassed to express it, or they don't understand it, or people will look down at them, or their husband or wife will think, what are you, crazy? What do you want this for? Are you an animal? They don't understand. And the other one who really realizes they're not going to get anything out of their spouse with this, they find other outlets, both on the men's side, both on the women's side. Terrible tragedy. So yes, lust for the sake of lust is dangerous. But when there is this taiva, this normal sexual desire, and you channel it, it's only husband to wife, wife to husband, sometimes you have to allow a permitted thing, even if it's not the highest level of Madrega, so that will is a mitzvah when it's Kaddish Atzcha B'Mutalach, that I'm going to get all my Sipak HaNefesh of this area from my husband, from my wife, and from no one else. That's my goal. My goal is, yes, I want to work on myself, refine myself, elevate myself, act more like a higher elevated person that we're meant to be. But Kolzman, this is within me, and this urge is there, and when I feel I need to express it, it's going to be solely to my wife, solely to my husband, and we're going to throw in a true ahava with it, and that's the way to go about it. Bracha v'atzlacha.